Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good afternoon. And whatever time it is where you are, shalom. And the thing about this is, today, this is the Friday, 6:30, keeping it real. We are your three apostles, Apostle Miller, Apostle McIntyre, and myself, W.J. Armstrong. And today, we're going to just keep it real. Today started out a little sluggish for me. I slept longer than I planned to because I'm usually up around 6 or so in the morning. This morning, it was 7 something. You know, whenever you get up, you're rushing through the day, rushing. And the sad thing about it is I didn't stop to think. I can never get that time back that I lost. And then you sit and you ask yourself the question, did you lose any time? Evidently, if you overslept and you're not normally sleeping that late, evidently your body might have needed more time to rest and to restore itself. So when I start looking at things that way, it doesn't seem so bad because I wasn't paying attention and there was a new stop sign placed there and had flags. You know, they didn't say anything about a new sign. And I blasted right on through that stop sign. But then I realized that I needed to slow down. And that what I was trying to do, it will wait. It's going to be there. And if we look at it in terms of God's time, God's time is different from our time. Maybe where I was trying to get to, there might have been a reason I should have been going slower. But after I blew through the stop sign, I chilled out a little bit, not all together, because I still had chores to run. And I was running the chores like I was against time, not understanding that our Creator can suspend time. And I'm going to say a prayer, and then I will go into why I say our Creator suspend time. Almighty Creator, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for the revelation of knowledge and understanding. And we thank you for your beloved Son, the Messiah, who came to reconcile us back to you, and who also came and shed his blood that our sins may be forgiven, that our sins may be forgiven. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, and I give you thanks and praise for what all that you've done. Because now we don't have to do animal sacrifice. And we don't have to keep doing them yearly because your beloved Son, the Messiah, did the sacrifice once for us all times. And I thank you. And as I share a little bit today, I ask that your Holy Spirit lead me and guide me in a way that what I may say may touch someone and may show them as they are going through that you are very present in all our lives at all times. In the Messiah's name, amen. Now, I may have to take a couple calls. I may have to step away, but I'll be back. Let me see if Apostle Miller is on, or Apostle McIntyre. Oh, good. Apostle Miller's on.
Good evening, Apostle Armstrong. How are you?
I am fantastic. And I am really fantastic that you are here.
Yes, sir. We are here.
That's right. We. It's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit working in and through us.
That's right. That is right.
And I was keeping it real today. I was talking about, I was sharing my day and how I was trying to bring the time back that I lost. And I flew through a stop sign on a street that normally there was never a stop sign there before, which means I wasn't paying attention. And there was flags that had flags on the sign that should have got my attention. And what does that say to me? That, one, I need to slow down. Two, that whatever it is that I had to do, if it was part of the will of God, I would have time to do it. And I had time to do everything that I had on my list to do. And I also was allowing the heat to have an impact on my life. And the heat was dictating how I was responding to various situations and circumstances.
Okay.
And see, sometimes we need to just pause and take inventory and just look at who am I at this point? And what am I doing? Am I doing it for the glory of God, or am I doing it for the glory of self? And those things that I was trying to do, I think one of them had to do more with the glory, not the glory, but trying to make sure that things wouldn't happen to embarrass anybody. But even that in itself, whenever I got back and I sit down and I looked at all this stuff, even that in itself wasn't glorifying the Creator. That was glorifying me and glorifying others. Again, I was looking at something that hadn't even happened. It hasn't happened. And I was allowing that to dictate my action. And I fool around, and I won't even be here. I won't even be here in a position to experience that which is to come. And, you know, it's that's whenever you fall back on the Word. What does the Word say? What is the Creator saying about all of this? You've been running and ripping all day, out in the heat. Oh, and the first thing I messed up, I won't say messed up, that could have been a problem. I had went to the market, the little market I go to and buy meat. And I had to come back by the house and I forgot to take the meat out of the car.
Oh,
jump back in the car and go to my next stop. And I get there, I realize the meat is still in the car, and it's hot.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
When I go inside the building, I ask the lady, I said, do y'all have any ice? Because I knew they had a refrigerator. This was like a commercial operation. So I knew they had a refrigerator. And she said she wasn't sure because she worked in the office. So we went downstairs. She went to the refrigerator and opened it. There was no ice in the freezer, but there was a bag of ice in there. And then they had the ice pack. So she gave me the ice pack. I did the transaction there. And I carried it back outside and put it in the bag where the meat was. And that, now, what if I hadn't gone there first and gone to my other stop? The meat would have spoiled. It would have spoiled.
Okay.
And all that had to do with the fact that rushing and running and ripping, as the old people used to say. And the Creator told me years ago when I was just going off to seminary, he told me, he said, you have plenty of time to do what it is I have for you to do. Because again, I was rushing and wondering when to have it done. When? Now. Not tomorrow, but now. So what I'm saying is that whenever we allow the word to come alive in us and we stand on that word and walk by the faith that comes from knowing that word, we don't get ourselves in situations and circumstances. And if the Creator had not been with me today, I might have had an accident. Somebody might have been coming through that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the meats were the spoiler. And, you know, the whole thing, we have to look and see the hand of the Creator of the Most High in what we do. Either operating through us and touching lives of the people around us, or He is protecting us as we go through our life experience.
Yeah, because we can get in the hole.
Yep. And then I come home, the television is off. Because I turn in a box. Television was working properly when I left. When I turned the box in, the guy turned this one off, which was on, which Spectrum had set it up. And I just classify that as the enemy trying to get me bent out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to look at the time. Oh, no, it's already 6:19. I said, young lady, you got 5 minutes. I said, I have to be on the radio. And the thing about it is, it's still looking at me, saying to restore or activate service. Now, if the new box that they shipped out to me was in store, and I called in and activated, why wasn't that noted in the record? So that guy, when he pulled it up today and saw that I was who I said I was and I was turning the box in, the DVD player box in, why did he have to mess with anything?
Mm-hmm.
So I
like
caught myself.
Like you said, the enemy was trying to upset you. That's how.
Yeah, he was doing a pretty good job. If I hadn't known the word, I would have went off on the young lady. All she was doing was a job.
Oh,
I really got upset with AI, artificial intelligence, gonna ask me all these questions and still can't solve my problem. So what I did, I told the young lady, I said, look, I said, I know we know what the problem is. I said, I'm not jumping on you. What is the solution? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the solution to the problem. And whenever I said that, and that was convicting me because I've been telling people, you don't need to be looking at the problem. You don't need to be telling God what the problem is. God already know what the problem is. And you already know what the problem is. So we should be looking for the solution to the problem. Whatever the problem is, we want the solution. And then that put her at ease. I said, you know, nothing you did. And she went on and did her little troubleshooting. And then it got to a point where 5 minutes time for the ministry hour to come on. I said, look, I have to get on the radio now. I said, this is going to have to wait. And she was saying, I said, look, you did everything you could do. It's not nothing that you didn't do. Because I know how this company work. They want to see a result from her time that she spent. And I know this stuff is being recorded. So that's why I made the statement that I made. But how is God and his son in all of this? How can we see him in there? And that's what we can talk about, our experiences. Because the title is that we are keeping it real. And by keeping it real and sharing a little bit about our journey, people then begin to see that we are not no holy rollers, that we are all about proclaiming the word. And we will show them how we are walking through it. Like today, it took a while before I saw God in all this because I had really X God out of my assignment that I gave myself today. And whenever I sat down and thought about it, that's whenever I began to relax, calm down. And the heat didn't help at all. That activated it.
Oh, yes, it was hot today. Really was.
Yes, it still is. And, you know, growing up on a farm, the hottest day used to be 12 noon. And that's when we will all be out of the field, or if we were at a field and wasn't close to the house, we found a shade tree. And we went and found the shade, and if we had lunch with us, so we ate our lunch there and sort of took a quicker nap, you know. And then later, probably about 1 or so, we would start back. And it would be cool around 5. I mean, when I say cool now, I'm not talking about cool. I'm talking about it wouldn't be as hot. But now, what do we see? 5 o'clock is the hottest time of the day. And, you know, it's really interesting in how the world is changing and how we need to change. And I realized I was really getting a little twisted whenever my thing was to the young lady, I'd be glad whenever the capitalist system we're in collapsed. Now, why did I say that? Because the system is more concerned about profit than about people. And that was the basis that I made that statement. The reason I made that statement is profit at any cost. And that's why we got pollution. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us, Apostle Paul told Timothy that in the last days have men's going to be lovers to themselves more than lovers of God. And so when you're a lover of yourself, you ain't thinking about other people. You're only thinking of yourself.
And that's what I started doing
that
today.
That can happen.
Yep. And
I mean, we
then
right
a friend.
He's here.
And a lot of us can't see it. And even the ones of us who see it, we still are looking at it through a distortion. And the enemy is still playing games with our mind. And what does the scripture say? Jesus the Messiah, what, renewed our mind?
Yeah, we have the mind of Christ.
We just have to get back and remember those scriptures. And a lot of us, we can't quote chapter and verse, but that's what's been in our heart, that part of it that we remember. And that is what helps us and keeps us going. It's what's in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we are human. And sometimes we bypass that which is in our hearts and lash out. But when we do that, go ahead.
But you know, there too, again, as I stated in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, Paul said, he wrote this epistle, this letter to Timothy, and he said, this know also, other word, you need to know, that in the last days, perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covenant, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, true breakers, false accusers, and continue serious, despise of those that are good. Traitors, headed, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And there too again, the Bible is being fulfilling whether people believe it. And I learned that the Lord let me know, he said, just cause if you don't believe or trust what I said, that don't change what is written or what I done said.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and there too again, you know, sometimes, you know, and I thank all of us, sometimes our intention be good. That's why God judge our motives, you know, because sometimes sometimes I can allow myself to get caught up. Sometimes I can have a lot of things on my mind, and, you know, but then too, God still know that where my heart is. God still know where your heart is. He know your intention is to please him. And then, too, he also know that we are flesh. It's the summer. Said, God, remember our frame. He know that we dust. And there, too, again, God looking at us based upon the covenant that he made to our ancestors. And in that covenant, God is bound to us. God going to make sure we taken care of, you know, because remember in Luke 13, that's what he said to the woman when he healed a woman on Sabbath day. He said, seeing she a daughter of Abraham, ought not this woman be loosed who stayed in the binding for these 18 years? God was looking at the covenant, and God is a covenant God. And God, God ain't going to break his covenant. And see, there too, but so many times I find out, and even with, I'm still learning, all of us still learning, but a lot of times we live from a religious mindset instead of a covenant mindset. When we know and learn and live from the covenant perspective, it's a whole different ball game. You know, that's when we understand. He said he ain't going to never leave me. And now, sometime in some situation, until I learned to live by faith, sometime that, you know, with situation, the enemy had you where God at? You don't feel him? Don't look like he moving, look like he ain't doing nothing. But that's when we really get rooted and get the word in our heart that we in a covenant. And that's what when you go through from Psalms 103 all the way, I think it's about 107 if I'm not making a mistake, God will constantly, the children of Israel will get out of line with God. But whenever they cried out to God and they repent, guess what? God always showed up. And that let us know in this new covenant where the Bible said we have a new and a better covenant with better promise, you know, God never left them people. Yeah, they left God many times.
Right.
Some of them said
right.
They died, you know, but we serve a covenant God. God is the God of covenant. And a lot of times we forget the covenant. Some of us don't be thinking about the covenant, but God always thinking about the covenant. When Jesus showed up in Matthew, what happened? God will remember the covenant, but God told Abraham for 400-some years, he said he wasn't going to do nothing. He said, your people are going to be in bondage. He told Abraham all of that, but he told him on his appointed time he was going to deliver the people, you know. So he did just that. God have kept his promise. And that's why the Bible said, you know, God have kept his promise to 1,000 generations, and he ain't going to break his covenant. So when we start thinking and seeing it from a covenant perspective, you know, it makes a difference. But we all sometimes, you know, like I said, we get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed sometimes, you know. Sometimes I don't say, Lord, you know, some days, you know, it's just God all day long with me. And then some days, if I ain't careful, I let myself get so busy. And I be saying, Lord, forgive me. I don't let this whole day went by. I'm tired. And then sometimes I can tell you, I get tired. Then look like everything want to get on my nerve. And just like you said, it's like the Holy Spirit will quicken me and say, now you know, now you letting the enemy come in here and frustrate you and aggravate you. Calm down, Ann. Just calm down, you know. So, you know, but we living I really believe we living in that time that Paul told Timothy. We're living in his Eva time, his Eva days that we experiencing. Apostle, you still there? I'm sure he's still there, but, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. I was sort of reflecting and on the past, and that's what I had was done last week, this week past. And what it came to me is that whenever you look in the past too long, linger back there too long, you become depressed. You become stressed,
right.
And all of that happens. And this was something I was reading. I think it was some Chinese article that was written. It was written in English. And my mind went straight from there to Isaiah 43:18-19.
Okay.
God said, what? Don't dwell on former things. And whenever I looked at this Chinese article was saying, it's the same thing that God said. Only different is it told us what was going to happen. You're going to become depressed. You're going to grow deeper into depression and all of that. So don't dwell on it. And also it says, because you're going to miss what's happening now. And then it went and it said, don't dwell in the future either. And I went back to Isaiah 43:18-19. What did it say? God says, I'm doing an old thing a new way. Do you not perceive it? And you sit there and you begin to ask and look around, what is it, God, that you are doing? What is this new thing that you are doing? And how does this new thing that you are doing impact me? And whenever we begin to look at things that way, things don't look so dark anymore. It's because, you know, for God, right. Because for God to do that new thing he's doing, who is he doing it for? For you and me. And he's not doing it just because he wants to do something. You know, and you sit back and you think about all this stuff. And then what do? You speak authority. You take authority over the enemy. And then you say, Luke 10:18-19 says, I have authority over the enemy. And then over, what's that, 1 John, 2 John, where, no, John 10:10, Jesus said that he destroyed the works of the devil. So how is the devil trying to do these things? He's doing it through those demonic spirits. But Jesus also said we have authority over the demons, scorpions, serpents. So now if I sit here and lament, go ahead.
This week, during my devotion time, the Holy Spirit revealed something to me that and I was sharing with somebody, and it really ministered me. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, it said, be sober, be virgin, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord revealed something to me about that. He said, let me show you how he wrought. He do it through y'all circumstances. It appeared that it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It get overwhelming, overcome. He said, and what you see. He said, that's the enemy be roaring like a lion. But the thing about it, it won't affect you if you know he already defeated. And as you stated, Apostle, when we walk in the authority that been given to us, according, you know, as you said, Luke 10:19, I believe you said. And that's when the Lord showed that really blessed me, because somebody called me, so-and-so going on, so-and-so going on. And the Holy Spirit said, tell them that ain't nobody but the enemy roaring. He roaring out of online. He's not. He can't affect you if you know who is coming from. You know, he said, that's the way the enemy roared through y'all circumstances. He had appeared, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. What you hearing, what you seeing. He said, that be the enemy roar. That's the way the enemy let out his roar on y'all. I said, now, I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. That helped me. He said, that's all he doing. Ass a roaring lion. He ain't got no teachers. In other words, he can't defeat you unless you allow him. And that's why, you know, God be want us to stay focused on what his words say. That's why Jesus said we should live by every word. And over the time, the enemy want people to believe you can't live by every word. Yes, you can. You can. God would not ask us to do anything that he have not graced us the ability to do. That's why this new covenant is better, because we have the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, on the inside of us. He won't only lead and guide us and bring things to our remember, but he released the power, the ability. He enabled us to do it if we want to. That's why we got a better covenant. And then he revealed to us where it's coming from. Yeah, that's the enemy right there, but this is what you do. He'll tell us how to counterattack what the enemy doing. So that's another reason when Jesus said, in Isaiah, she would say, the former thing, they didn't have a covenant like we have now. They had a covenant, but certain things the covenant didn't cover. But look how it cover us now. Now, God ain't going to violate our free will, but if we will too, because in Philippians, he said, God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So So when God showed that to me, that really ministered to me. He said the enemy just roaring, that's all. He just roaring. Roaring after roaring loud. But that's the way he let out his wrath.
Yeah, and see, what do we focus on? The devil. Jesus said what? He came that we may have what? Life. I mean, in the same breath, he said that he destroyed the works of the devil. Why? I am come so you can have life, and not just have life, but have it more abundantly. But see, we sit around, oh, the devil is so bad. The devil is doing this. Devil did that. Oh, the devil made me do that. Devil ain't made you do nothing. You did it because you wanted to do it. And
yeah, he can just inject out. He can't make you do it.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I know them little voices. Right. Them little voices would come. Oh, well, it's a hot day. You could have a cup of beers. Go get yourself a cup of beers. And you sit there and you drink your beer because it's hot. Well, whenever you, if you run around after you drink the beers, you can get hotter because of the alcohol. It's going to raise your temperature. So, you know, the enemy.
Apostle? I think we might be having technical problems. We just going to keep going. I know Apostle is on the line. I just don't know what done happened. But as he was saying about how...
But keep going.
Okay, that's okay. But as you were saying about Peter said, and see, that's the thing about it. You know, we need to be able to recognize our enemy. That's something I've been sharing on Mondays and Thursdays. I've been talking about, do you know your enemy? You know, because a lot of times in certain situations, we need to ask God a lot of times, what's behind it? You know, okay, God, you know, the Bible says, if any man like wisdom, let him ask God. And I had somebody tell me this when I first got saved, you can't question God. Well, I find out through the scripture that's not true. He said, if you like wisdom, let him ask God. In other words, I'm paraphrasing, God will reveal to you what you need to know. Because this stuff I loved about Jesus, when I go back and study about the healings that Jesus did, Jesus was able to discern when a demon was involved in somebody's sickness or when it was just sickness. And the ones that demon was involved with, he would cast them spirits out, unclean spirits, spirit infirmity, spirit possession. He would cast them out. But he was able to discern when Satan was at work, even with Peter, when he asked the question one day, who do y'all say I am? You know, and Peter said, thou the Christ. He complimented Peter. Then he started telling them what was going to happen to him in a few days. Peter pulled him to the side and said, in other words, this ain't going to happen. And Jesus turned and he said, Satan, get behind me. Jesus was always able to discern when the enemy was at work. And that's something, the Holy Spirit, and one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is to discern it. He wants us to be able to discern when Satan is operating or when God is operating. Or even when we operate. Now, the Bible tells us, I think in Hebrew, that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It divides thoughts and soul. He'll let you know which is which. And that's to, again, we need to be able to recognize when the enemy is showing up or acting up in a situation or enticing someone, influencing someone, and I tell you, it will help. Cause that, as I studied, and the Lord began to show that to me, he said, now you see how Jesus, and even Apostle Paul, Apostle Paul was able to discern. Remember when the person with the sorcery were going around and talking these men to God? Apostle Paul was able to discern. This is an evil spirit. This is not God. And he turned and rebuked it. You know, but see, there too again, that's part of the better promise. God wants us to know when Satan is operating, you know, and he wants us to know, as you said earlier, that when God show up, we need to be able to discern, okay, that's God right there. That's Satan right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me right there. Because it's in the word of God to help us to be able to locate what is going, who doing what, you know. Even with Daniel, remember, even with Daniel, when Daniel purposed in his heart to pray, and it was taking so long for it to come. Well, when the angel got to him, he let Daniel know, from the day you purpose in your heart, the answer will release. But it was principality and perjury. That day was principality. These spirits held us up, so an angel had to come and help him to get a breakthrough. Even remember with Elijah. Remember when Elijah, the king, sent the men, and they surrounded Elijah. I think I'm saying the right one. Elijah and his servant, when his servant seen, he told Elijah, he said, Elijah, you need to see, we are surrounded with soldiers. And Elijah began to pray. He said, Lord, open up my servant's eyes so he can see.
Mm-hmm.
It's more with us and it them coming against. And that's where we at. We in a time, yes, it's a lot of evil happening on the earth. But nothing is happening that God haven't graced us with the authority, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. Ain't nothing is happening on this earth that God haven't gave us authority over. And he gave us the master key, which is faith. That's the master key. Everything, even though he told us, that Jesus came to give us that abundant life. You're not going to be able to experience that abundant life if you do not have knowledge of what it consists of and you don't know how to apply and use your faith and release your faith so it can be manifest. It ain't going to just automatically happen. Now, that was one of the things that when I first got saved, it really messed me up. Because when I got saved, I had so many questions. God, why are you letting this happen? Why, God, you ain't fix this? Why? I had so many whys. And then when the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, began to show me, yes, but you have a responsibility too, Ann. I don't do everything. I do what you can't do, you know. So it really helped me. And so then what I was blaming the devil and blaming God for, I said, well, it's just my ignorance. I ain't took time to get in your word. I didn't know this. I just assumed. I took what some people said about you, God, and what some people said about the devil, you know. And it makes a difference, you know. So it just go back to what you said. Demons are real. Demons are persons without a body.
Mm-hmm.
Demons are real. And they'll talk to you. They talk to sinners. They talk to believers and unbelievers too. I'd have some say to it, once you get saved, the devil don't talk to you. That's a, I don't mean to harm a person, but that's a lie.
That's right.
They like they talk to you more.
That's right.
Like they talk to you more.
Yeah, because they are determined then to cause you to turn back to where you were.
That's right, Apostle.
Because I used to tell people, I was a good general. It was Satan. And so now that's why all this stuff is happening to me, because Satan is trying to get me to go back to where doing what I was doing.
Right.
And it wasn't a whole lot of stuff that people would see and recognize that it was the devil's doing. You know, it was really interesting whenever you sit down and, because originally my thing was, well, God can't use me. No. But after I was in the Word and come to realize that God doesn't call perfect people, because perfect people can't tell the story to anybody else because they can't connect to where the people are. And whenever he calls you, that's because you have some imperfection. that the people over there need to see how you overcame, not you, how he took you where you were and moved you to where you are now. So people say, if he did that for old so-and-so, maybe there's something to it. Maybe I should try it. And so as a result of that, now, them whole, what I used to call holy rollers, I ain't want to be bothering no holy rollers. All they talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus. I see them coming. I'm going the other way. And they, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm sitting there.
But see, a lot of people have the disobedient working in you. That's why.
That's right.
You know, Ephesians, the second chapter, tells us we all done had the spirit of disobedient working in us. And when that spirit works, then none of us want to hear that. And then plus the way some people, the way some people were witnessing, well, when you get saved, you can't do this. And they gave me a whole list. And you can't do this. And you can't do this. And my mind couldn't comprehend that. Because at that moment, it was certain things I like to do. So you going to tell me I couldn't do it if I get saved. So right there, I said, well, I guess I don't want to get saved right now. I will say, and then I would say, I guess I'm not ready to get saved because I want to drink. I want to smoke the pot. I want to party. I want to do that. I didn't realize when Jesus come in and he get rid of that sin nature, it ain't that I can't. I don't want to. I don't have the desire to do it anymore.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you sit down and you wonder now, if I hadn't did what I did, where would I be now? How would God be able to use me? Would I have one of them big churches like everybody, like other people have? And, you know, you sit down and you look at things and you question things. Well, those big churches that people got, are they, how effective are they? What is drawing those people? How are they teaching those people? How are they making disciples? Is it emotional? How are they coming there? They got the loudspeaker. They got all that stuff going on. And then I look at the little church. They've got one or two people in it. And one of the things I realize, even the little churches, what's happening in them? They got the people who idolize the preacher. You got the people who, they're on that pew, this is my pew, and nobody better not sit on it. Where are the new people? Why are you reaching out and bringing in new souls? Why aren't you sending out those who are sitting in them pews so that they can make disciples? And so, you know, then there's some place in the middle. And my wife and I, we started a home church in Baltimore. And what we called it was a church beyond the walls.
That's a good one.
And that's where we, how a lot of stuff evolved that we are doing now. And that when we brought down here, she started the prayer ministry because of, it was, I'm not sure where, she was at the doctor, she was someplace. Her and Sheila, they started a prayer ministry. And this was probably in 2010, somewhere around there. Might have been before that. Which is still going on to this day. And she's gone on, but God, because she had the vision, God placed it in her, she started it, and is passing on to others, just keeping it going. And the church that we were in, the church, the Sierra Leone church, they took one of the prayer ministry phone number that we had when we left that church. That's still going on. And we brought that there. And they called it, what was it called? Women's of Adonai. I think that's what they called it. And it's, now I think they meet twice a week. And so it's, that's what, how God took her and through her planted that seed there at that ministry. And it's still going, and people are still reaching out. And I looked at also the children, the little children that she worked with, how God, it wasn't her, how God used her to touch the lives of the little children. And, you know, you sit back and you think and you look and you can just see the hand of God all over the place. Either going to be affirming you or you're going to see God working against that foolishness that you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all been an awesome journey. Whenever you sit down and look at things that way and you just see God.
You know, similar to Apostle, I look at the mercy of God and the patience of God. You know, the scripture says God is not slack concerning his promise, but it's not God will that any perish. And that's something
that's right.
Else this week I was thinking about. As you know, when you read your word, the Holy Spirit will begin to open your eyes up to something you didn't know. You know, something going on in your life of where you maybe been missing, and he was showing me some things. And, you know, I just broke down. I began to cry. I said, God, your mercy. God is so merciful, and God is so patient with us. The Bible says he's long-suffering. His mercy endures forever. And when I think about the mercy of God, I mean, it just do something for me. It just let me know that, you know, when you see other people, you can't be judgment or being critical of them, because you got to realize we didn't get here overnight. And we still, as you made a statement early, God didn't call perfect people, but God called willing people, you know.
That's
willing,
right.
Humble people that know, look, I can't, but if I believe and trust him, he can do it through me. But I don't know about nobody else. Apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners. I don't know about that. I think I got him a little bit. You know what I mean? Because when I look at all the things I done did, intentionally and unintentionally, you know, God been merciful. God been very patient with me, you know. And it just melt my heart when I think about it. He been so patient. So who are we to look at somebody else and try to look down? We can't look down on nobody. I don't care how long you've been saved. You can't look down. Cause remember the parable where Jesus said, one came in that morning, and he told him what he worked for him. He said, he told him how much you pay him. I'm paraphrasing. They go on for short.
Right.
The one came in the evening, he paid him the same amount. So there too, again, God is so merciful. And I think that's what something, now don't get me wrong, God is merciful and we have grace. Grace is not a license to sin, you know. Now some people, you know, well, honey, I ain't got to worry about it. I can just keep doing this. No, now you got to fight it about it. Grace is not a license to sin, but one of the meanings of grace is to enable us with the ability to do what God say do. You know, but God want us to see, and I truly believe that God want us to see how hopeless and helpless we are without him. That right there, I'm a me. When I think about how hopeless and helpless I am, I can't do it. One of the mothers used to sing a church, sang at Mount Sinai when God had us to transfer that ministry. And I never get, she used to say, without God, I can do nothing. You probably might be that here. Without God, I can do nothing. I'm like a ship without a sail. And I'm telling you, that is so true. And that's one of the things that the Old Testament, one of the points he was trying to get at, to let man know, if I told you what to do, you still can't do it in your own strength.
That's right.
That's just it. I don't care how long you've been saved by what seminar, whatever you done been to. I still need it. But the more I walk with the Lord, the more I'm seeing, dog, girl, you still went behind the ear. You still don't know nothing. I'm was a problem. I told the Lord that years ago. I said, Lord, look like the more I live and serve you, it look like I'm saying I'm more dumb. I don't know nothing. I can't do nothing. I ain't hear nothing. I said, what in the world? But that's a good thing because that keep me humble, you know.
And that's right.
People, even, you know, even with the broadcast, what we, the revelation, the knowledge and understanding that God, it's not the final revelation on that subject. You know,
mm-mm.
It's not. You know, it's not the final, but I'm still, God is so merciful. I mean, it amazed me how merciful and patient God is with us.
Yeah, and you mentioned the radio. What we say here, God is holding us accountable for what we say. And what we say, he's lining up with his word. And if it doesn't line up properly with his word, it's written in that book. And when we stand there at the judgment, we're going to be judged. And we're going to speak, depart from me. But remember when I was on radio, I said this and I said that. Remember all them people who listened to me? Yeah, I remember. How many of them fell? How many of them you build a foundation so that they could use that word in dealing with their everyday situation and circumstances?
And you know, then too, your motives were, he looking at, like I said, your motives. And see, what is our intention? Is we trying to draw, and I tell people as a prophet, I said, my responsibility is to send point people to God, not to Prophet Miller.
That's our
modus appear. Why are we saying what we're saying? We supposed to point people to God, not to us. We point to the perfect one. Try to teach people. Know what? Teach them God's word. Teach them how to hear and get acquainted with God. Learn to discern the voice of God from the enemy. That now, when we doing that, it's a whole different. But if you trying to build a you know, something for yourself, that's where you wrong. You don't look at me. Look what I can do. No. I tell people, as an apostolic prophet, my assignment is to point you to God. They shall help you through the word, to be able to see him through the word, how to stand on the word, but not to point you to me. Because Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there too, again, we got to realize, that's why he said Matthew, I think in Matthew the 7th chapter, he said, many going to say, Lord, Lord, then I prophesied and did great works in your name. And I'm going to tell you, depart from me, because really what he's saying, your motives were never, your motive was all about you. You wanted to self-important. You wanted people to look at you. It was, you used my name. Yeah, people got saved. But what was your motive? What you were thinking about, let me receive the honor and the glory. You wanted for yourself. Now, that's spooky right there, Pop. That's serious right there. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just told in my ear we have 60 seconds, and because nobody coming behind us, I when they said 90 seconds, I didn't even concern myself. So would you mind praying us out of here?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you, Father. We want to thank you for your son, Jesus. We want to thank you, Father, for loving us so much. When the first Adam was sinned against you, God, you had another plan. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you was obedient to your own death. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. God, you are so merciful. You are so patient. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of each of us. And Father, help us. Father, help us to let you help us. Father, help us. Help us open up our eyes. Open up the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see you, Father, in a way that it will bring back a holy reverence, a holy fear for you. Help us, Father. And Father, even the ones that don't even know you today, the ones that think they know you, I pray that you, that the Holy Spirit would breathe on them afresh, that he would bring enlightenment, that he would remove the scales from the people's eyes. And Father, those that don't even know you, I thank you for having mercy. I pray that you would send forth labors into their past. And we bind strong man Satan that is operating in their life. We bind up those demonic voices that are causing them to accuse you and everybody else. We bind up those voices. And Father, put people in their path to witness to them that they'll receive your word. And Father, we said thank you. Even the fivefold minister gift. Father, help us continue to open up our eyes and to let us know everything that we say, we're going to give an account of it. Help us to see, Father. Help us to see clearly. You said what you meant and meant what you said. You said it's a point to command one to die. And after that, it's the judgment. Help us as born again believers. Open up the eyes of understanding and know we're going to stand before you. We're going to give an account for everything that we're doing, every idle word. Father, I even pray for the Holy Spirit to bring about conviction again, Father. And Father, I thank you. Remember those that even with sickness and disease that done plagued their body. I come against it. And I pray that their eyes will come open according to Isaiah 53:5. For Jesus himself took our infirmity. He bore our sickness, and by his stripes we're healed. Open up that our eyes to Isaiah 53:1, where you said, who reports are we going to believe? Come against unbelief and doubt. The enemy trying to cause us to disbelieve now, God, to walk in doubt and unbelief. Oh, Father, help us. Help us. Help us even the more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And we thank God for this time that he's given us. And shalom, shalom. See you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. All righty. Bye-bye.